Solomon asked for the right thing. But he should have asked for a little bit more discipline in his life. Because he went from being a very wise man to being a very stupid man. Because he couldn't restrain his desire for pleasure, especially sexual pleasure. He had many, many wives, so did many other kings, but pretty soon he was so dumb that he couldn't see how to handle Jeroboam. Jeroboam broke away and took 10 of the tribes with him, the whole northern kingdom. And that's, I imagine, I don't have to go through the whole story because I'll bet we'll hear all about it on Monday. Well, maybe on Tuesday, but anyway. Now, the reason why that's a very good warning for us, too much pleasure, too much comfort, too much rest, not enough striving to obey the Lord, hear the Lord, you know, and we wander off. And we become, the text says, there's never been anyone as wise as Solomon. And so, the Lord was pleased as Solomon made this request. Because you have asked for this and not for a long life or riches or the life of your enemies, for understanding that you know, to know what is right. I do as you requested. I will give you a heart so wise and understanding that there has never been anyone like you up to now. And after you, there will come no one to equal you. But he didn't stay that intelligent, though, did he? Big palace, you know. But mostly it was his numerous wives that finally dulled his understanding. So that when Jeroboam, and he was taxing the people, he needed a lot of money for all these building projects he was involved in and all the rest. And so then Jeroboam rebelled and said, we've had it with this guy. And he took off. He just went north a little bit, made a kingdom and a capital at Samaria, and 10 of the tribes followed him. And that's the split between north and south. And it came through the stupidity of a man who had asked for wisdom and been given it. And so it's a good warning. If we get too interested in money and pleasure and comfort and security, and we get dull. And when we have to make important decisions, we don't know how. So, dear old Solomon, then this is all, as I'm sure you know, the part here in Mark 6. It's the beginning of the account of the multiplication of the loaves. Now, this is a very different story. They came back from wherever they were, and they said all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. That was the plan. But they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place, but people saw them leaving. And many named came to know about it, not only know about it, but know where he was going. And so they ran around the lake as they were trying to go across it in the boat. And some of them got there before Jesus and the disciples. So when he got out of the boat, there was this crowd. He's trying to get a vacation. And he gets out of the boat, and there they are. So when Jesus disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved. Now, this is the word splanknese. This is the word splankna in Greek, means your innards right here. That's where pity is. That's where compassion is. That's where these emotions are. When you feel them here, right? So that's why. So he was moved. Now our translation has pity. You see, but pity looks to the need. Mercy looks to the person. And so our Lord is looking at the persons. It would have been better to translate. And actually, pity would be a better word because it's evocative of emotion. And since the word in Greek talks about the splankna, splanknisti, would have been, he was moved, you know, with compassion for them. And so, forget the vacation, let's serve these people. And so that's what he did. Huh? They were like sheep without a shepherd. So, get them a degree, or feed them. Well, he will feed them. But he began to teach them anything, understanding who God is and who he is in your life, understanding what he's asking of you and what he's promising you. That's education. And so our Lord sees them and says, you see, he was moved with compassion for them. So he taught them. Now, if you turn the page backwards and go to Matthew, same scene, many of the same words, but he says he began to heal them. And so, as one of the commentators, I think it's St. Jerome, but I forgot now. Well, you know, all teaching, if it's real, is healing. And all healing is teaching. Because it reveals who God is. So that now that we have this evangelization outreach beginning in the community, you see, we should pray for healings. You can talk about God's compassion all you want, but when the guy next door, right next to you at the table is all of a sudden healed of years of pain, that's impressive, isn't it? We need signs and wonders to confirm the message. And that's why, as you know, and I think we read Mary Healy's letter, didn't we? Well, see, that's the Lord doing exactly what he did here. He looked, he saw, and he was moved with compassion for them. So he healed them because they were sick, but he healed them so that they would learn who he was. Works much better. Sometimes the Lord, I remember when I was teaching up at Steubenville once in a while, I'd be preaching, or maybe one of the other priests, and somebody would be healed right there. Why? So that the Lord could impress on these young college kids that this is for real. When you hear that I love you, know that it's true. And one of the things that most often happened was a healing of deafness. Now that's an audiovisual aid, isn't it? I mean, I want to do that not only to your ears, but to your heart. So we should pray for that. Pray that when we talk to people, they are relieved of their deafness, spiritual and physical.